fix it today.
Woodpecker?
It's a rocket ship.
Okay, so the Sefer ends with God addressing Eov. And if you take a look at the last prakim here, the first thing you see is that God's words are divided into two units. First, Perek Lamed Chet and Perek Lamed Zed, Vayan Hashem et Eov min ha-Seara. The second is Perek Mem, which begins again, Vayan Hashem et Eov vayomar. God speaks to him twice. And the openings are very similar. Look, for example, the opening of the first speech. Vayan Hashem et Eov min ha-Seara vayomar. Mi ze machshich etza b'milim b'lidat. Who is speaking these words without understanding? Gird your loins like a warrior, and I will ask you and you will inform me. Let's compare that pasuk to the beginning of the second speech. Perek Mem, pasuk Zayin. Let's start with pasuk Vav. Vayan Hashem et Eov v'nesera v'yomar, Ezorna chigever chalatzecha, v'shalcha v'hodieni. Same beginning. The difference can be seen in the responses of Eov, or the lack thereof. As we just saw, God requests Eov's response. Take a look after the first speech, Perek Mem. V'yan Hashem et Eov v'yomar, Hara harovim shadai yisor, mochir chaloa ya'anena. What's your answer? V'yan Eov et Hashem v'yomar, Pasuk Gimel, Hein kaloti ma shivecha yadi samti lemofi, chati barti v'lo aneu shnayim v'lo osif. I have nothing to say. But after the second speech, Eov admits that he's wrong and he accepts God's din, which he doesn't do after the first speech. If we look at Perek Membet, Pasuk Aleph, Vayan Eov et Hashem v'yomar, Yadati kichol tuchal v'loi b'tzem v'cham z'ima, Mize malim eitza b'lidat, l'chein egalti v'lo avinu v'lo b'meni v'lo eda, Shmana v'nochi yedaber v'shulcha v'odieni, It's very interesting, this conclusion in Pasuk Vav. Eov, after the revelation, arrives at the level that Avraham was at the beginning. When Avraham said, "Who am I to speak?" Eov eventually realizes that. And obviously the question is, what brings to this difference, this change in Eov? The first time he says, "I have nothing to say." The second time, he admits that he's wrong. I think the difference is that in the first speech, Hashem only shows Eov that he doesn't understand. So Eov says, "I have nothing to say, I don't understand." In the second speech, he relates to Eov's claims, and particularly in Perek Mem, as we're about to see. So let's see the first speech, again after this overview, where he tries to show Eov how much there is that he doesn't understand. Then the second speech, maybe even the more interesting one, where he relates to Eov's claims, at least on some level. Alright. So the first thing you notice about the first speech is that Hashem is inviting Eov to respond. You read the beginning of the speech, the beginning of Perek Lamed Chet, Pasuk Gimel, Ezorna chegever chalatzecha v'eshalcha v'hodieni. Step up like a man, and I'll ask you and you'll answer me. And of course, we saw that after the speech in Perek Mem Pasuk Bet, in Perek Mem Pasuk Bet, starting Pasuk Aleph, Vayan Hashem Eov v'yomar, Harobim Shadai Yisor, Mochir Chaloa Ya'anena. Now, what's your answer? After Eov doesn't speak, he asks him what his response is. The question is again what the content is. And I think you see the content from the very beginning of God's words. Perek Lamed Chet Pasuk Dalet. Efo hayita biyazdi aretz. Where were you when I founded the world? Haged im yadat avina. Tell us if you know. Tell us if you understand. And really what he's asking is, you know, where were you when, what do you really understand and what do you not understand? The next two prakim, prakim lamechet and lametet, are lengthy descriptions of the wonders of creation. He starts off in Perek Lamechet by talking about shamayim v'aretz, and particularly the things that connect between Shemayim Baruch, the amazing nature of rain and snow. Pasuk Chav Aleph, Yadata ki yez tevaled, umispar yamecha rabim, havata et el otzrot shaleg, v'otzrot barad tireh, snow and hail. Asher chasachti leitzar liyom krav u milchama, Who makes sure it rains here in all the places it needs to rain? Who's taking care of making sure Shemayim and Aretz exist, grow, and that Shemayim fuels Aretz, and Aretz fuels Shemayim the way it needs to? The second part of his words, starting from Pasuk Lamed Tet in Perek Lamed Chet and going through the end of Perek Lamed Tet, is about the inhabitants of the world, the living inhabitants of the world, the Baalei Chayim, how God takes care of all their needs, etc. And the emphasis throughout this speech is not just how amazing the world is, how intricate and amazing and spectacular and wondrous and mysterious, but how little man understands. And we saw that from, you know, the first pasuk that God said at the beginning of Perek Lamed Chet. Who is speaking all this without understanding? And that continues. That continues in Pasuk Gimel. It continues in Pasuk Dalet. Where were you when I created the world? Tell me if you understand. In Pasuk Hey, who stretches its borders that you should know? Who created all the world, right? Who set its dimensions? Do you know? Pasuk Yudchet. Have you contemplated the wide expanses of the world? Tell if you know. Do you know? Because then you were already born and the number of your days is so great. So do you know the things that have happened since you were born? Do you know the laws of heaven? Did you place its rule upon the land? And then later in Perek Lamed Tet, a continuation. The first two psukim. Did you count the months as they came to term to know the moment of the birth? They crouch and expel their offspring, they rid of themselves of their agonies. Do you know all this? Do you know to anticipate all this? And of course the answer is no. We don't know that much, relatively speaking, but somehow we like to assume that we know a lot. We don't know how much there is to know about nature, and we keep discovering things all the time, and even if there's a lot of knowledge that's out there, we don't know that much of it. But somehow we assume we have it all under control, and we can judge, and we can understand, and we can make assessments based on our great understanding. But the truth is we understand very little. And that's the first thing that he's reminding him now. This is a very nice idea, but the question we should be asking is, what's the Chiddush? Why do I say, what's the Chiddush?
We've heard this before.
What?
Because we've heard this before.
Eliyahu said it, right? That was one of Eliyahu's major points, to know of man's limited understanding. So the question is, what's God adding? And I think the most important thing we need to see here is that God reinforces this gap, this understanding of the difference between man and God as far as man's lack of understanding. God reinforces this experientially. What's emphasized in the beginning of Perek Lamed Chet is that God speaks to Eov, answers Eov from what? In what context? Minasera. Minasera. With a storm. The revelation of God itself is important. To feel the Metziut Hashem, to feel His great strength, His overwhelming presence. It seems that everything God spoke to Eov about, the animals, etc., He didn't just tell him, He showed him. Now, someone made a video of these natural phenomena and showed them with each pasuk. Okay, very nice, but I think it was more than the video. It might have been an IMAX, or whatever you want to call it, or whatever God can do beyond IMAX. It's experiencing God's presence and the whole world of how it functions, or if Ma'amad Har Sinai was not just Anochi Hashem Elokecha, but feeling it in a true sense, feeling how the world really is infused by God's presence. Here, Eov was feeling the world and so much he didn't know and didn't understand. And I think an excellent example of the significance of godly revelation can be seen in Sefer Chavakuk. For those who don't know, it's in Treasar. And for the boys in the crowd, that is in Nevi'im, in Tanakh. And for those who went to MTA, that is the book we don't read. Right? If you look at Chavakuk, which is hard to find because it is very short. It is very short. Anyone here ever learn Habakkuk?
Yes.
Well, just for through.
Habakkuk, it's translated here. Basically, there's one theme. Habakkuk begins complaining about the lack of justice in the world. Tzadik v'rala rasha v'tovla. And he's very, very sharp. You gotta read it. He says he's not backing down and he's upset and how could it be and etc. Perek Gimel begins Tfilah l'Chavakuk HaNavi al Sheginot. He's davening about the mistakes he made. And the question is, how do we get from Perek Aleph to Perek Gimel? And the answer obviously is Perek Bet. Well, what happened in Perek Bet? And the answer is God reveals himself to Chavakuk. Al Mishmatir Amodavet Yatfal Matzor Vatzapelerot Maida Berbi Yemah Sheval Tochtachti. God answered me with this chazon, right? And the most significant thing, you know, the message of the chazon is the very famous three words that God said to Chavakuk, Tzadik be'emunato yechia. A tzadik lives with his faith. Now, that was because, well, how's that an answer? But I think we appreciate how it's an answer by looking at the last pasuk of Perek Bet. The Hashem when you experience God in his sanctuary, the whole world is quiet in front of that. It's an overwhelming presence. Chavakuk knows he's made mistakes even without God relating to the answers. And I think we feel this, you know, another place would be Gam ki elech begeit salmavet lo yirara ki atai madi, that personal known feeling. I think you see it in Yov's response. When he finally does respond, Perek Membet. Let's fast forward there for a second. When he's talking about how much he's learned, he writes, Perek Membet, it's okay. L'shema ozen shmaticha, v'yata eini ra'atcha. I had heard of you, but now my eye has beheld you. Who did he hear about God from? Elihu, right? What was the difference now? So more than just seeing it, was experiencing it. So, you know, Eov got a taste of just the gap of what that is. Not just someone else telling him, but experiencing it from God firsthand. But obviously what most interests us here is Perek Membet. Perek Mem and Memal, the second speech, which is when God is going to relate to his claims. And you see it from the very beginning. Perek Mem, after the introduction to his words, right, he says, Zorna chagever chalatzecha, shalchava hodieni, ha'av tafer mishpati, tarshieni l'man titztak, very important, pasuk chet. Will you also discredit my judgment? Will you declare me wrong in order to make yourself right? There's a question here, right? The question is, who's right, God or Eov? And, you know, maybe what Eov would have liked, maybe some of us would have liked, is that God should take him apart. You did X, Y, and Z on September 3rd, you know, 2012, the creation of the world. You did this, and you did that, and this is why it happened this way, and this is why it happened that way. And, you know, I don't know if God did that, but it's not recorded here because it's not relevant to us. To show that Eov deserved what he got, or whatever the explanation for Eov was, is an interesting explanation for Eov. What is recorded here is how God related to the bigger picture. Eov claims that he is just and God is not. Let's continue how he elaborates on that. V'im zeroa ke'elach, do you have an arm like God? Uvakol kamo tarim, do you have a voice like his? Adena ga'on v'gova. What does ga'on v'gova mean? Pasuk
Yud. Pride and height.
Adored yourself with majesty and exaltedness. Okay, you're a big shot. Let's see what you got, big guy. Let's see what you got. Give it your best stuff. V'hod v'hadar tilbash. You deal with all the pride, the proud ones that need to be lowered. It's the word that keep repeating itself. You deal with all the big problems, all the proud, big shots out there, and I'll be very happy. I'll thank you for it. He's challenging Eov to deal with the problems the world has. And now he's going to put on the table two very significant problems. Anyone ever learn this, Perek? What happened to the pre-EO of preparation group? The mighty have fallen. It's very famous in English, and it's been used as models in a lot of cultural images, but the Behemoth and the Leviathan. God describes here two terrible, powerful, mean creatures. He puts them to Eov and says, how are you going to deal with it? He starts in Pasuk Tevav, Hinena Behemoth, right? Behemoth. Shavasiti, Machatzir Kabacha Yochel. He eats grass like he eats cattle. Hinena Kol Chobemat Mav. Look at its strength. Oh no, Bishur, no, Yechbots and Avok Marads. Waves its tail like rice. Gidei Pachdav Yisoragu Atzamav. Kenu Chushai is describing its great strength. Hu Rishitar Koelo, Sayeg Eshchabo. Kivul Harim Yisulo, Vechol Chayat Asadei Sachakusham. Tachat Zelim Yishka, Vesetu Kaneu Vitsa. Yisuku Zelim Tzilalo, Yisbu'u Arvei Nachal. Hein Yashok Nahar, Lo Yachboz, Yiftach Ki Yagiach Yarden Alpiyu. Be'inav Yikichel B'mokshim Yinkavaf. And you can read through the English, but he basically is describing its power and how threatening it is, right? Pasuk Chafei, Timshoch Leviathan b'chaka, uvachelot ashkia l'shono. Can you pull in the Leviathan with a hook? Can you embed a line in its tongue, right, the way we fish? Can you put a curved hook in its nose or pierce its cheek with a barbed hook? Right, he will attack you. Will you speak nice to it? Will you make a treaty with it? Could you take him as your slave? Could you sport him like you do with a bird? Can friends make a feast for him? Can they divide him amongst the merchants? Can you riddle his skin with barbs or put his head in a fish bucket? If you put a hand on him, you will no more remember warfare. He goes on to talk about how dangerous and how much, you know, mocking Eov, his inability to deal with these two creatures. The Gaon and the Geva. In contrast, in the end of Perek Mem Aleph, Pasuk Chavav, it says, "Et kol gavoa yirehu melech al kol b'nei shachat." God looks down at everything elevated. He is the king over the haughty. And I think what God is saying through this contrast is, you're looking at the small fry, the nickel and dime stuff, and you're frustrated about that, and you make yourself great and me small. Now let's look at the big problems the world has. The Hitlers, the, what are they called? The Krachim, the, what are those big ice things called in Antarctica?
Eskimos?
No, ice things.
The icebergs.
Glaciers.
The glaciers that are melting and going to bury the world. The asteroids. You know, all these doomsday scenarios that are out there, if you took the combined percentage of what percent each of them should have, the world will be gone a long time ago. How come in the end the bad, the dangerous loses? It's not Batman. How come in the end the world survives? So we can look at the problems and the things that are unjust and say, well, God is unjust and it's terrible and we have it all figured out. Really? Okay, let's see how you can handle things. There's that, you know, stupid movie called If I Were God, If You Were God, I Am God, Bruce is God. Bruce Almighty?
Bruce Almighty.
Right. Where the point is, what? Where the point obviously is, it's a lot more complex than you think. And, you know, we think we have it all figured out. If we were put in charge, it wouldn't work very well. What he's trying to say is, God is the one who deals with the real threats that are out there, and that's how you can know that God is good. The fact that he sustains the world and its existence. And it's interesting that that God describes these two terrifying creatures, right? One is the Behemoth, he lives on land, right? The other is the Leviathan, who it seems lives in sea and may fly, it seems from the imagery here. Kind of like the two types of dinosaurs. They were scary dinosaurs that ruled the world, right? Man wasn't really able to develop. And it seems they were pretty rough and dangerous and threatening. Who rid the world of the dinosaurs and, you know, made it possible for man to sprout? Not man. It doesn't matter if you say it was global warming or global freezing or food resources or whatever explanation you give. Who made sure that happened? That's the point. Whether it's the dinosaurs or not, Right, it's the point. And maybe God sends things that we can't handle to remind us that we're not the ones handling it. And maybe he sends us more things we can't handle when we get more confused about thinking that we are handling it. The Leviathan in particular was an image, a creature that Chazal spoke a lot about. The Midrashim speak about God playing with the Leviathan, toying with the Leviathan. Interestingly, Maran Bava Basra, the Fayin Hay, says that in the end of days, God will shech the Leviathan and feed it to the tzaddikim. The Leviathan as a symbol, as a, you know, a model, you know, a semel of bad in the world, of the satan in the world, and God's control over it, and ultimately shechting of it. And you know, this is really why man is supposed to ask God that he should deal with the satan, and not to think that he has the ability himself. Famous story is David HaMelech said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he had beaten his Yetzer. God sent him Bathsheba, right? Maran Kiddushin Daf Pe'alef, one of the Amorim says, you know, arrows in the eyes of the satan. And he says, no, you shouldn't speak that way because it implies that you can fight him. Yigar Hashem be'enei ha-satan. Because it's God who, you know, is the only one who can deal with the big, you know, with the big problems, with the mega dangerous bad things. So we don't see every aspect of justice in our world, and maybe the explanation is that if there were complete justice in our world, there wouldn't be choice for man, whatever the explanations are, right? But the way we know that God is just, and this is critical, is by, and good, right, is by the fact that he deals with the things that we can't deal with, and ensuring that the world can survive and that people can survive and live. Again, those are things we take for granted. Much like Eov in the beginning of the Sefer took for granted his own physicality, and that's what the Satan told him. You know, you took away everything you gave him, now take away what he doesn't see you having given to him. When we think about God and we want to evaluate God and his role in the world, we've got to think of the big things that we take for granted too, right? The fact that we're still here to tell the tale. We haven't got knocked off by an asteroid, or by glaciers, or by the various Hitlers and atomic bombs, and you know, right? How close was the world to nuking itself? Who made sure that didn't happen? Okay, that's it for you.
No way.
Hey, what about the
end? It's not over.
It says that, you know, after he admitted his mistake, God gave him a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, that's a very significant part.
You restored him to where he was before?
Could I ask you a few questions on that?
Stuff? Sure.
Can we learn it then?
It just says God restored him to his previous glory.
And he was happy and rings up.
Yeah, isn't that nice?
It's very disturbing.
Oh, by the way, just to mention, in Perek Membet, after God speaks to Eov, Pasuk Zayin, Yom Hashem El Lifaz Atemani, Chara Pi Vecha, Uvishnei Reich, I'm angry at you. Ki Lo Dibartem Elai Nechona Ki Avdi Eov. You didn't speak to me straight, truthful, honest, like Eov did. There's vindication. Eov said a lot of things that were wrong. It says Pasuk Zayin, Perek Membet, Pasuk Zayin, Vayi Achar Dibar Hashem Devem Elai El Eov. Yom Hashem El Alifaz Atemani, Chara Api V'Chal V'Shnei Re'ach Kido Dibartim Elai Nechona Ke'avdi Eov. V'Yata, 1 second, K'lu Lechem Sheva Parim Sheva Elim. Take these animals, go to Eov, and have him bring a carbon for you, which is interesting because, but now it's when it's part of a tshuva process, right? V'Eov Avdi, Yitpalel Alechem, Kiyim Panah V'Sad V'Hilti Asot Imachem Nevala, Kido Dibartim Elai Nechona Ke'avdi Eov. And they go, like God said, right? And then it says in Pasuk Yud, God brought back Eov to a good place, doubled the things he had. Talks about how he had doubled the various categories that we had. He lived 140 more years, restored children. He died Zakein with Svayamim. Yes.
There seems to be an emphasis on his daughters. That is, it says the names of the daughters, and then
at the end.
Yeah, and he also gave them a portion with the sons, which seems to be something that wasn't.
The lo nimtza nashim yafot kivnot Eov b'chol haaretz.
What's that?
He had beautiful daughters. I don't know if in pshat I have an explanation, right? Is it possible that, you know, you could say his sons were the problems in the beginning, so now he's giving a place to his daughters? I don't know. I guess that's the only thing you can see within the flow, right?
Is there a drash?
Mm-hmm. Midrashim talk about it, but nothing that's based in the text itself.
Ramban says that isn't it that the Satan hit everyone, really? And
hit everyone.
Yeah, and it wasn't what's it called? Like, they really didn't die, and it was just...
Well, maybe based in Pasuk Yud. V'Hashem shav et shvut Iyov. Shav et shvut Iyov. B'hit palalo be'ad re'ehu, by the way, right? When he davened for his friends, that's when God returned the things to him. So even though they did wrong, it was important that he do that, right? And so, you know, I guess you could use this as a source for, you know, kol ha'mispal al chaveru nen etchila, right? Yes.
So Hashem doesn't relate to Eov's specific situation.
At least not much recorded for us.
Could we hold on to onto what so far had said about the?
Maybe.
The justice, but you're saying that's not the point.
Not the point, for sure not. Right?
So Hashem is basically saying that even if we don't see justice and we can't understand the justice, we have to know that overall...
We have a basis for believing in it because we have basis for believing that God is good.
But we won't see it. It won't be clear to us.
That gets back to the explanation we've been doing all along of why this world isn't that way, right? Yes?
Why specifically Eliphaz?
Why specifically? Because it seems he was the boss. He spoke first, right?